A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
So it's Arch Manning. If you look at who is the most surefire guy that's out there, DNA, name recognition, by the time he goes into the pros, like, he is the number one pick in the draft. It's already been decided.
All right, welcome back. It is Unrivaled. It is 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for being with us. We are here all day at JCW's here in South Jordan. If you come into this location and you say, and I'm going to tell these people as they walk in, if you say Go Jazz at the register, you get 10% off. Boom, there you go.
Got that?
That's a gift for you. 10% off if you say Go Jazz at the register. So there's your 10% off. So you walk in, you get yourself a little discount. They just got ambushed. I apologize.
I don't think they believe us. They're like, looking at us like,
no, I know.
Who are these crazy people?
They're like, we're not trying to.
We're not trying to sell you anything.
We're just, look, Scott's not going to beat you up. This is not. There's nothing. There's nothing added to it. There's no expiration date on this, except for all the way till when we're done here. So that was Scott at the very top of the hour talking a little bit about Arch Manning. I want to jump a little bit more into that and a little bit of what we learned yesterday at BYU's football media day. So let's jump in right there at the top of the hour with the cut, as we always do.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more information. uofuhealth.org, sponsors of the cut. Yesterday, Scott, of all the things that we learned yesterday, I went back and listened to Tom Holmoe's address to the media, talking to Dave McCann during their state of the program. So a couple of the hits here that I wanted to jump into before we get into a little bit of the discussion on Arch Manning and him deciding to go to Texas, right? So I think that a lot of folks yesterday walked away going, yeah, there wasn't much to say because the big news is they're going to the Big 12. But Tom Holmoe's already going the direction, I think, of what a lot of his cohorts are doing in the Big 12, which is he wants to go to no divisions in the Big 12. We talked about this on our show before. No divisions in a conference is absolutely the best football, and it gets you the best way and the best path to be able to thwart an SEC team, a second SEC team, to get to the college football playoff. Your thoughts on going straight in and having the nine conference games and no divisions.
So here's the thing. Okay, if you look at the SEC, they actually have a conference championship game. They have divisions. It works very well for them. And the reason it works well for them is because they know they can potentially have two teams in the college football playoffs no matter what. And they've done it. They've proved
it. If number one Alabama beats number two Auburn in the SEC championship game,
one of those teams goes to number four.
Right.
Okay? They don't ever jump out.
We've seen it.
Yeah, because the winner is like, you know, you lost to the best team in the country.
Sure.
So I think everyone looked at their championship game. I've been to an SEC championship game before. Okay, I watched Florida play Arkansas, and it's in the Georgia Dome when they had the Georgia Dome.
Yeah.
And there's 78,000 people there.
It's as big of an event. It's bigger than the Atlanta Falcons coming.
It's bigger than almost every bowl game that's out there.
Right.
So everyone goes revenue for the conference, right? Because 100% of it just goes right into the conference. But no one, there isn't that same interest about football anywhere other than in the South. So I think a lot of conferences said, oh, we got to have a conference championship. Now, the SEC, what did they do? They said, yeah, but you're doing it wrong, okay? You don't want to have 9 conference games.
Let's go down to the 8.
Because we know that if part of why we have 2 teams in a championship every year is because we can go through a schedule and we can have multiple teams have undefeated records because our schedules, like Alabama had the 59th hardest schedule in the country a year ago.
Right. Dead middle of the country.
I mean,
right?
Georgia's wasn't great either.
No one dings them for it because they're in the SEC.
Because they say our conference is so strong, it's so big.
You know what? Then let's go to 7 games. 7 game conference schedule for the Big 12 with no divisions. Let's go.
So a conference championship doesn't work really anywhere other than in the South. There's just not that kind of across the board interest. If you're in the Big 10, if it's Ohio State and Michigan playing in a conference championship game. Yes, you're going to have, but
they're in the same division.
They're in the same division, right? So it never works. Never going to work anywhere other than the South. Definitely have 8 games, and it gives you so much more flexibility, not only in your schedule but in when you can schedule. A lot of these SEC teams go, we need a break in late November. We've been going at this for a long time, so let's get our cupcake game. Which is about as good as having a bye week, and then we can go into the end of the season, you know, healthy and also undefeated.
We had a conversation with Tom Holmo off the air yesterday that I thought, and we didn't even bring it up, Scott. We forgot to bring up this off the air conversation about because we had so many things yesterday. Right?
Sure, it was sensory overload.
But Tom Holmo was walking out of the building and he's done for the day, and he said, "Hey," and he came over and he said hi to us, and Scott and Tom started talking about Scott's old Miami Dolphins playbook. And, you know, and Tom lit up. It's almost like the defender in him goes, I could steal some information here. Just like he's used to seeing some plays and going, man. And we asked him about – I said, you guys wanted to make that announcement today of your out-of-conference schedule.
Right.
But I know it's more complicated than just having a couple of teams agree to it. He goes, I'll tell you how – listen, the amount of times that we have had a locked-up deal with a team – and that final general counsel who needs to sign off on it or that university president that has to put their signature on it, they're on vacation in Europe, they can't get a hold of them, whatever. But the reality is they'll get back to them after they've made these agreements, and then they go, hey, we're not playing the game. And you go, why? And they go, we just can't. No explanation. The deals were made for months, whatever. And he goes, we have it all set up. We can't announce it yet. We just can't announce it yet because we don't feel – they don't have the –
unless the ink's dry. You, anything can change, right. and it changes in a heartbeat.
And he goes, I just have watched so many things melt down over the years. Like, he goes, you have no idea how many teams we've had. Yes, we're doing it. The coach is on board. The athletic director's on board. The school president is on board. And then something goes wrong, and then that's it. And it just gets killed, and they don't even call you back after.
But part of it is this whole conversation we just had. Teams go, look, our schedule's too strong. It's too difficult. We don't want to make it harder on ourselves. And BYU, for a lot of schools, is a hard game. You know, when you're an independent like BYU, other than Notre Dame, I mean, that's a hard team to want to have to play. And all that says to people is, you know what, there's a lot of respect for BYU football around the country. If it's not that they don't want to play because they don't like you, it's – they don't want to play you because you're actually too good. And I would imagine I would be ripping my hair out if I was BYU in an independent schedule trying to deal across different conferences, different classifications of football programs, trying to deal with, you know, having to schedule these tougher opponents earlier in the year because they get into their conference games, and so your schedule gets all skewed. It's really difficult because you get, you know, and we've seen that. We've seen how, hey, this is the best we can do is get these cupcake games for the whole month of November.
Right.
And you just go, how exciting is that as a fan? And then at the end of that, it's like, where we go? What boring bowl game are we going to go to? I mean, so it's massive challenges.
And I think that's what the boosters like to hear. Hey, what boring bowl game are we going to this year, everybody? Yeah. Well, and that was another thing that was
brought
up.
That'd be a good name for a bowl game. The boring bowl game.
And you just go, look, we know what we are.
And I know exactly the place for it.
Where is it?
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh,
that would be the most boring town in the entire country.
I think that there is
a boring. People probably say somewhere in Utah. But,
No. Boring Oregon. See, there's Boring Oregon is a place. We set up camp there. There's not going to be that many people at the game anyway. It's not like you need a big stadium. Yeah,
it's the boring bowl.
The other thing that happens with this is I've told you every year I want to see the toilet bowl. I really do want to see
the toilet bowl's a great
one. The two 0-12 teams. And you're fighting for your first win of the season. Somebody's got to win that.
And it's going to be – it's the perennial – and they probably could hold it in El Paso. Because it's going to be – well, it's probably UTEP and UConn, right?
It's going to be – well, and if it's not UTEP, it's New Mexico State, which is also 20 minutes away.
Really close.
So you got that. So one of the things that
and you know what? The mascot for that could be like an alien. Right? You know, because
it's just a poop emoji. Yeah. It's just a suit with a poop emoji. And that's it. And you get Lysol to sponsor the thing. You got yourself the toilet
and
bowl.
And the fans put the toilet seat on their heads, you know. Kind of,
it's like the opposite of the cheese head.
Right. It's the
Toilet head. Oh, they're being very tame with the names. We could come up with all these things. The Arch Manning thing, we didn't get to jump as much into it.
The pooper's fall. Hey, Clark, the pooper's fall.
Oh, my goodness. The Arch Manning thing that I want to get back to is that you said, I didn't even get to say my fun thing because we were having a discussion on it.
And this is so obvious. When you hear me say this, you're going to go, well, of course.
Well, the Quinn Ewers thing with this kid who was at Ohio State, he was a five-star guy, comes out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, goes up to Ohio State, and then is wooed back. You know, he's looking at it and going, look, C.J. Stroud's here. They got a couple of the quarterbacks. I'm not the guy on the list. He signed a $1 million NIL deal up there in Columbus, but then he ends up getting wooed by Texas in the transfer portal. And then Arch Manning, before Quinn Ewers has even taken a snap in Texas, Arch Manning has come in and doomed the guy.
And burst his bubble, like, in a massive way. Couldn't think about this, okay? If you're Steve Sarkisian and you now have landed – the biggest recruit probably in the last, who knows, forever. I mean, he might be as big a recruit as there's ever been in college football. And you're going to tell everyone in the world, yeah, I'm not going to play Arch Manning. Like everyone's going to go, you're the dumbest guy. Like, so he knows. So, and Quinn Ewers should probably know this. Arch Manning's playing. Okay.
It's not you, kid.
It's Arch Manning is playing.
What do you think the conversation went like between Steve Sarkisian and Quinn Ewers, though? Do you think
after Arch Manning?
After today's news or before they sign him, what do you think the
conversation
is?
He lied to him through his
teeth. What did he say?
He said, hey, you know how I am. The best guy's going to play. You're gonna compete. And if I'm Quinn Ewers, I'm looking to leave today. I would just, you know what? You can have your Arch Manning. But here's the thing with Arch Manning, because I'm like, why in the freaking world is Arch Manning going to Texas? I mean, you talk about Texas hasn't won a conference championship in like forever. They've been the most underperforming program in the entire country. And you look at Alabama and Georgia and you go, NFL player after NFL player and being coached by some, if you want to get prepared to go to the NFL, that's not a bad place to go play. But that's not the Manning way.
What is it?
The Manning way is not that way.
No.
The Manning way is like, we kind of do it like a little bit different. Arch Manning doesn't want to be just another name at a big time program. He's just in a long line of guys. He wants to be the guy that turns Texas football around. And I think they think they can do it. I think he's like, and Steve Sarkisian in his offense, I mean, this is a guy who's been an NFL coordinator. He's been around some amazing offensive football. If I had a quarterback
tree.
That was a son, I'd love for him to play under Steve Sarkisian in his system, right? And that's what this is all about. Because really, the Mannings are kind of they're really bigger than football. And if he goes to Alabama, The big name at Alabama is Nick Saban. It's never going to be Arch Manning. It's an impossibility for him. And the same thing with Georgia. But where there's so much upside to Texas. And if Texas is like USC, if they can ever figure it out, ever actually figure out that they're like the giant, the big dog on the block, then Texas becomes scary. And Arch Manning going to Texas makes them all of a sudden scary. Arch Manning may have saved Steve Sarkisian's job. Like, he probably
he bought him three more years.
Yeah,
right?
There's no hot seat for Steve Sarkisian. It's like we can't. You know,
Him three more years.
Yeah, he's just like
freshman, sophomore, junior year, and if they haven't figured it out, but Arch Manning's going to be in the NFL regardless, and Steve Sarkisian, unless he's turned it around. I mean, this is. I'm not even.
It's
saying
like
because,
it's
I'm
wait not till saying, Arch Manning gets here.
Right,
wait till Arch Manning. We don't even care.
And it's not even the wins and losses thing. It's because while Arch Manning is there, Steve Sarkisian got Arch Manning. That buys him 3 years. So he did enough to be able to get the biggest recruit in the history of college football, and now he can stay for the next 3 years.
You look at Peyton. He went to Tennessee, and really kind of brought something to Tennessee.
And that was blazing his own trail too, because of the Ole Miss family history.
It was out of the box. Eli, you know, goes to Ole Miss, and if you're a great college quarterback, Ole Miss is not like the hotbed of great quarterbacks. And Eli, you know, he kind of said, "Well, I'm going to do the family thing here," and he didn't necessarily look at what's the best place. I mean, the best place for Eli Manning could have been USC, you know, back when Pete Carroll was at USC. I mean, if you're thinking about Eli, so the Mannings, that they just like to do it a little bit against the grain, because I really thought he was going to go to Alabama, and but then now that he did it, it's like, why in the world would we go to Texas and he'd go there? Because really the Mannings want to be the biggest story anywhere they want, and they, you know, they're all shucks and they're all this. But they're all ego too. They love themselves the Mannings, and they love and this isn't any different. Makes it 10 times a bigger story than if he went to Alabama or Georgia.
If Peyton's forehead is any indicator,
it's more like a 5-inch.
that's an ego right there. Yeah. If you're wondering about a couple of things when it comes to the Jazz draft, we're talking about it all day today as we walk you up to coverage. In about 90 minutes, you're going to get. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, and Tim Lacombe are going to walk in here at JCW's, and they're going to take over some draft coverage, and we're going to see if anything interesting happens. So you saw the reports yesterday that the Jazz are looking to keep Rudy Gobert. These are all reports, so who knows what's going to go on, and who knows what's real information day before the draft, and who knows what's real. But now that we're at draft day, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, the possibility of them staying, that's a rumor that's been floating around. The two names that have been thrown out as rumors today as being on the possible dealing block is going to be Royce O'Neal and Mike Conley. Both their names have come up, and the Jazz will apparently be looking for a first-round draft pick if one of those guys is up on the trading block. Now, the luxury tax looms large, and I know that everybody's going, oh, Ryan Smith's cool, he's good for it. But if you don't get any return on a luxury tax, it is an absolute killer. And some of the implications of going that direction and keeping a bunch of money that doesn't make sense on those books, I think Jazz fans are looking at any of those possibilities. And I think that folks will say, hey, Mike Conley, thanks for those years that you gave us here. And we're glad you got to your first All-Star game. And you've had amazing regular seasons, but the defender that they want to have inside this system now needs to be bigger. They cannot have the two small guards that they have right now. They cannot. And I think that's what they're looking at and going, hey, let's figure this out. Let's get a longer defender. And if that's the need that they have, and if they are keeping Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, then that makes kind of some of that – that makes a lot more sense. Let's take a break here. When we come back, I've got a couple of pieces of sound that you didn't hear from BYU Football Media Day yesterday in regards to the offense that they're putting together, that A-Rod's putting together. This is a guy who acts like no big deal, hey, no problem, no big deal. But A-Rod is got a smile on his face almost always now because of the talent that's returning and the talent that's coming in for BYU's offense. Can it be record-breaking again this year? Stay with us. Unrivaled continues. We're at JCW's in South Jordan. If you come in and say, go Jazz, since we're doing our KSL – sports block party All the crew's going to be here tonight. You're going to get the full breakdown from Coach Lacombe, Ben Anderson, and Jake Scott. You don't want to miss it. You come in and mention Go Jazz at the South Jordan location of JCW's, you get 10% off. So we'll come back. More to go right here on the program. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The Kissel, Sports Zone. Stay with us.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.